This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, for our next story, we're talking about newspapers, specifically how less and less people are buying them. Bernama chairperson Azman Ujang urged the public to continue buying and reading newspapers as sales have dropped due to technology.
He said that young people especially are turning away from reading these physical newspapers. And we do see this around us as well, not just among the younger generation, because nowadays people tend to get their news from social media or news apps and websites now, which does have its pros and cons. And one of the cons, according to Azman Ujang, is that there is a prevalence of fake news, which can be addressed by these physical newspapers who have been publishing for decades and decades and decades.
Speaking of which, newsflash, we have just heard, Kelvin?
Yeah, so the, one of the longest newspapers in the country will stop publication on Wednesday, and all publications under the Utusan Group, which includes Utusan Malaysia, Mingguan Malaysia, Cosmo, and Cosmo Ahad, will cease all print and online publications. This is after Utusan Malaysia's National Union of Journalists Chief Taufik Razak said that the executive chairman, Dato' Abdul Aziz Sheikh Fazil, admitted that the company is penniless. So the company no longer has any money left to pay staff or operate the business any longer.
I mean, this struggle between newspapers trying to sell the print version of their publication and also having to deal with the new online competitors is something that is faced by journalism organizations all over the world, not just Malaysia. People are moving towards online news sources, and it is the struggle of trying to shift towards an online medium, and they're trying to figure out how to monetize news while at the same time making it accessible to news readers as well. So for example, there are newspapers that are trying to figure out all the different ways of coming up with a good or a fair subscription plan or model that can help attract new users and retain old ones.
We must think for a moment in terms of the message and the medium are different things. So we did have a time not so long ago when there were a tiny handful of newspapers only, and television, that would have news. And those were happy times. Well, I mean, if you were a consumer, you knew no better. And certainly if you were an authority, people in power, is absolutely perfect. And then suddenly there's the explosion of the internet. Now, the internet meant that yes, information came to you faster, but it also meant that you could write the message differently. You could appeal to emotions in a way that print media could not, so that you had that edge. You could create propaganda, and you could make people frightened. You could have them cry and also be frightened about foreigners in the same 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Which the print media just can up to a point do. I mean, after all, Hitler did it back in the day with just print media. But now you can do it so much faster. And so the techniques of persuasion through advertising, the same advertising messaging can be used to sell stories, which are sort of meaningless stories. But as long as you get the emotion of the reader, then you succeed. And I think newspapers will just struggle to compete against that.
It's strange, right? I just wonder how long we'll be having this conversation, because, you know, for radio, it's been such a long time where, with the entrance of television, with the entrance of video, that radios will just eventually die and fade out. But this conversation with newspapers has been happening for such a long time. And I guess to see it materialize, you really do wonder what is the future of the rest of the media mediums, right? Will digital take over completely? Will digital be the last standing medium that's available for everyone? And, you know, what does that mean, right? How will we adjust to this new future? I'm sure this is not really a problem for those who are internet natives, but this might be a bit more painful for those who are used to having access to different physical mediums.
I mean, I don't know if digital will be the final destination of news, but certainly right now, they are very much dependent on social media. So people access news through Facebook and Twitter. And because of that, these news organizations sort of depend on advertising money from Facebook and clicks from Facebook in order to generate income and support their journalism. So if you ask me about the future, certainly digital, but maybe leaning towards very small numbers of social media platforms. Mm.
So after this, we will be speaking to Gayathri Venkateswaran, Assistant Professor of Media and Communications at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia, for her thoughts on this story. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is almost 6:51. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin, Iman and Cam. And we are talking about two stories related to newspapers. One being that Bernama Chairperson Azman Ujang has urged the public to continue buying and reading newspapers because sales have dropped due to technology. And at 6 p.m, we just heard the fact that Utusan and all its accompanying publications will cease publications on Wednesday. So now we're going to cross over to Gayathri Venkateswaran, who is I've just lost my train of thought, apologies, who is an assistant professor of media and communications at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Gayathri, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Hi, good evening to everyone.
So what are your thoughts on Bernama Chairman Dato' Seri Azman Ujang's statement that Malaysians should continue supporting newspapers by buying daily or weekly newspapers?
Well, it's an interesting statement considering the second story that you just talked about, which is the closure of the newspapers. You know, I think that to get people to subscribe to something that has been, you know, for the longest time in the mainstream media industry, been very much politically aligned. And, you know, I mean, I think one of you mentioned about propaganda, right? The use of media to sort of like evoke the emotions and propaganda. And that has been our problem for many years. So I think wanting to increase subscription, number one, I think it ignores the fact that, well, changes are taking place with the media, as we have seen with some of the newspaper outlets, not just here, but also abroad. And also the fact that I think, you know, why would we want to subscribe to these newspapers if the newspapers have not served us as effectively, as fairly, and as independently as they should have done? So I think that there's a huge gap between what the media has been sort of like providing and also in terms of what public expectations are. And I also think the third one, so you know, you do have this technology, the sort of like continuous changes that's happening. So it's making some of the modes of the media be outdated. And then there's the political influence that sort of turned off a lot of people from even reading the newspapers. And the third thing is that, you know, for a long time already, income has come from advertising, not from subscription. So we've known this for such a long time that the main source of income for a lot of these media have been advertising. And if we take the Utusan's case and also many other particularly politically aligned newspapers, they have got their main source of income from government budgets. And so when you take that away, then you take away also a lot of their income. So the danger of that whole politics and business sort of interrelationship, you know. So I think that, you know, if we want to really understand what the challenges are, it's not as easy as saying, hey, please go and buy the newspaper if there's not been that confidence in the media for such a long time. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of emotional attachment maybe to some of these media outlets, and maybe even Ratu Azman would have had Utusan in mind because of what has just happened today. But to get back those readers, I think it's a huge step up really from, you know, looking at it from the political point of view and also in terms of what readers really want and where they go for their sources of information.
Is there an obligation to support the print industry as, and I quote here, morale boosters to the pressmen?
So I come from the media. So like you, I think that, you know, it's wonderful if people actually support journalists. But I think that support comes in because people see the need or see the value of journalism. I think that good journalism must be supported. There is really a need for it. In fact, I think the more we see, and you talked about rightly the threat of fake news or disinformation, you know, there is a space for good journalism. And we all know that good journalism is expensive. You don't get it, you know, it's not a cheap endeavor. But I think that it is necessary also to get the media to think about what their role is in society. So I don't think there is an obligation, especially when the media has distanced itself from what is actually the public. Not all, but I think that because, again, you know, in this political landscape that we have been in for such a long time, and even until today, the problem has been that the media had served very specific interests rather than public interest. And I don't mean to say that the media needs to report what the public thinks is important, but what is in fact necessary for, you know, your sort of like daily decision-making, your political decision-making. If I can trust the media to give me what I think is important for me, then I am invested in it. I see that you are sort of representing different views, you know, provides that platform. But if you are serving somebody else's need, why would I want to support you? And I see the journalist as part and parcel of that institution. It may be an unfair assessment because, you know, journalists also take orders. But I think that because we've had this culture for so long, it's difficult to separate the sort of good journalism from, unfortunately, the very much controlled institution. So I don't think the public is obliged. I think it is necessary to get public support, but it must come from good journalism. So, you know, I think you have to earn it, basically.
Well, speaking of the good journalism and hopefully a way to pay for it, last year we saw the shutdown of Malay Mail's printing operations and they've moved to a completely digital platform.
Yes.
Is this something that you envisage happening more increasingly? And also, does it pay?
You know, in Southeast Asia, people always thought that the Malaysian journalists tended to be paid much higher than, you know, our compatriots in the region, next to Singapore, of course. I think the move to digital partly is, of course, you know, you see that, and I think you also mentioned that people take their or look for information on social media or other platforms or digital platforms. And so having the kind of traditional or legacy media may not serve that interest anymore as the demographics of the users are changing. But, you know, I think we should not maybe focus so much on the format itself, but actually what content there is. And I think that that hasn't really changed. So you may move entirely from print or from TV to digital, but if you're putting out the same content, what changes are you actually bringing? It might be easier to get your audiences, but it may not last also for very long. It may not be sustainable. So I think that the change that we see now is really under pressure because of the competition with international companies, with global media companies, and that is putting a lot of pressure on the media. Does it pay to be a journalist? Well, I think we have not explored a lot of the business models. I think we're still stuck in a very old-fashioned way of thinking about media. And as long as we are like within that framework, I think it may not seem as attractive. But I think there are good media companies that explore different models. It's going to be tough. It's definitely going to be tough. But I think there's value, there's a need, in fact, and I think we need a lot more innovation in thinking about how to run a media company.
Gayathri, thank you so much for sharing that perspective with us.
Thank you.
That was Gayathri Venkateswaran, Assistant Professor of Media and Communications at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia, talking to us about Bernama Chairperson's urging for the public to buy newspapers, as well as the shutdown of Utusan Malaysia. So you can let us know your thoughts. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
We have a few messages about our stories in the previous hours. And first up, we have this one from Robert talking about Bernama Chairman's urging of the public to buy more newspapers to support the industry. This one from Robert, directly to you, Cam. Mm. It's all about content of quality. The quality of the content. Malaysia's print media was killed by the previous government. Many stopped buying and turned to the internet. Quality counts. Look at the UK's Guardian. Don't treat readers as fools.
I look at the UK Guardian every day, and you're right. Actually, when was the last time any of us bought a newspaper in Malaysia?
Not since I started working here, where we do have newspapers available in the pantry, but I don't always read them.
Physical newspapers?
Yeah.
Not in a while. I don't remember when.
I don't remember either. Long time.
And we have this message here from MZ who says, I used newspapers to wrap my rubbish and to clean my windows. Utusan was the best because of its size.
That's mean.
Now I have to look at Chinese newspapers. This is how I support the industry in this country.
I have not agreed with the politics of Utusan, but it's always... you know, a sad day when people lose their jobs.
Yeah.
And journalists at that.
And we have this message from a journalist who says, I think media companies need to rethink their monetization strategies. Some have ventured into conferences, some towards awards. But the difficult challenge is to find ways to monetize content without resorting to sacrificing journalistic integrity. Magazines have been doing well in tackling this issue. Case studies include Forbes, Monocle, Bloomberg Businessweek. I foresee the line between magazine and news publications blurring as we move forward in the future.
You know, but the people you quoted there, Forbes, Monocle, Bloomberg Businessweek, they all will often have some component in their family of companies that makes the money.
Right.
Mm. And sometimes the publication is the thing that does not make the money. So in the case of, Washington Post, it just happens to be owned now by the richest man in the world,
yeah,
Jeff Bezos. And so as long as Amazon makes plenty of money, Washington Post is fine. So... monetizing is easier said than done, and it doesn't always sit naturally with a newspaper to go out and kind of, you know, really push for money when they're supposed to be balanced.
Especially if, like, when you're in a landscape where people... So now we're going into the subscription model. So do you expect the readers to subscribe to this newspaper for six ringgit a month and then another one for 10 ringgit a month and another one? That all adds up.